There once was a leader, and this leader's name was Joshua. It's not me. And this leader, he sent two guys to go to this city. Their objective was to spy out the city and to see, you know, what's going on in the city. What are the where the armies tend to gather? Where are the mighty places? Where are the fortresses? Where would be the best place to go in and to attack and know like the layout of the city? You know, where's the king's palace and just what's going on in the city? And so they go in, and there's two strangers, two spies. And they go in the city, and when they go to the city, they go to a place that that lots of newcomers would go to, strangers would go to. It afforded them an ability to kind of blend in. It afforded them ability to be like just every other stranger and visitor, but it's probably repulsive to you and I. It's a brothel. And if you don't know what a brothel is, ask a friend. And so there are these women there. And one of the leaders, if not the head of the brothel, does these men a favor. And they find out that the king and the soldiers of the city are looking for them. So she has these two men, and she puts them on her roof, and she covers them up with some sheets of grain. And she goes back down into the house. And when the king's men come in, they say, "Hey, we heard that there are strangers here. We heard that there are men here, and we want to know, have you seen them? Do you know where they are?" And so the woman says, "Yeah, they were here, but they've gone away. It would be a really good idea if you would, you know, pursue them, hurry up and go after them, you know, and shut the city gates so that they can't get back in, but they went that way." And so the men, you know, they hurry up and they begin to pursue them outside the city gates. And when they leave, she goes back up to the roof. And she finds the men, she uncovers them, and she says, "Hey, they're looking for you. I've sent them away, but you guys need to lay low, and I'm going to get you out of the city, but you need to hide, you know, for a few days so that you don't run into these men." And so they agree. They say, "Okay, we're gonna hide out. We're going to keep, you know, a low profile. We've seen what we need to see. We know what we are able to do, and so we're going to do that." And then Rahab, who is the woman, says, "I know about you guys. Better yet, I know about your God." And the amazing thing is that this stranger, this woman who has no real personal experience with the Israelites or with these spies, doesn't really know about them. She's heard about their God. She says, "Your God has done some wondrous things." And she tells them about how a generation before them, that their God had dried up the Red Sea so that the Israelites could escape the Egyptians. And then she says, "You know what else? I know that your God has destroyed two armies that were mighty armies." And then she mentions God's personal name. She says, "Yahweh." Don't miss the importance of that. She mentions God's personal relationship way. She doesn't say "your God," as in G-O-D, the word that would be just a generic term for God. She doesn't say Elohim. She says Yahweh. She says Yahweh is the God of the heavens and the earth. Most of us would say, cool. But we really miss the declaration there of what she's saying. She lives in a culture, she lives in a land, she lives in a time where their gods were, they were limited to certain areas. So you may have a god of the hills. You may have a god of the heavens. You may have a god of the sea. And their god would so and so control a certain domain. But she declares that all of these other gods are false by declaring that your God is the God of the heavens and of the earth. And she says, I need a favor. I've heard of this Yahweh. And I know you guys are coming to our city. When you come to our city, will you save my life? And the men go into negotiations with her and they say, look, if you keep quiet about us like you have, if you continue on with this mum's the word, if you don't tell anyone that you've seen us or hit us or done anything like that, when we come back, we're going to save you. But if you spill the beans, there's no hope. So she promises, no problem, I will keep my mouth shut. I will get you guys out of the city, and you will come back and you save me. So her home just happened to be on the city wall. And so what she does is she sneaks them out the window. She ties a rope. She drops it on the outside of the wall. And the two spies go down the wall. And they go hide for a few days out in the grassy area. And then they come back. And they go and report about what God has done. And God preserves the spies, and the spies are going to preserve her life if they're able to, or they plan to if she keeps her word. And the way they plan to do it is that when they come to the city, they tell her, hey, we want you to tie a scarlet rope, a red rope, on the outside of your window. And we will tell absolutely everyone who is with us that whoever's in that house with the red rope, you do not attack them. Do not kill them. And we'll keep our end of the bargain since you kept your end of the bargain. So the men go back and they tell Joshua, they tell the leaders everything that's happened to them. And so Joshua, following the word of the Lord, goes to the city of Jericho. And you've probably heard the story of how Jericho's walls came tumbling down, how for 6 days they marched around the wall one time, and then on the seventh day they marched around the wall seven times, and they blew the trumpets, and everybody yelled, and the walls just fell. And they go into the city, and they begin to destroy. And when the walls fall, Joshua tells the same two men. We don't know what their names are. We don't know who they are. But he tells these two men, he says, look, you go to Rahab's house and you rescue her. So they do that. They go to the house that has the scarlet rope on the outside of the city, and they are going to save Rahab. And Rahab has a few family members in the house with her. She has her father and some brothers and sisters and other family members. And so what happens is that they take all of those folks out of the house and they bring them to safety. Cool story how what God did to save his own people, Israel, to help them to attack a city, to destroy it. But in the details, he uses this woman who doesn't have the best job to save some spies. When they rescue this woman, she is going to eventually marry an Israelite whose name is Salmon. Weird name, you know. Maybe he liked fish. I don't know. But she marries a guy named Salmon, and they have a son. And that son's name is Boaz. And you may have heard the name Boaz before. But Boaz plays a prominent role in the book of Ruth because Boaz marries this woman named Ruth, and they have a son named Obed. And Obed has a son named Jesse. And Jesse has a son you've definitely heard of. His name is David. And David becomes king of Israel. And God uses this woman who is a prostitute, who has a shady job, who worships foreign gods, who lives in a pagan city. He takes her from that city, and she becomes the great-great-grandmother of perhaps the greatest king in all of Israel's history. How does this happen? And the answer is her faith. Limitless faith. Faith that would take a woman from a rough past, a rough history, to become part of the lineage of the greatest king to ever rule Israel. And if you continue to follow that genealogy down, you get this guy whose name is Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. We were talking about that in Sunday school, how it's like, why are there genealogies here in the Bible? Well, genealogies are there in the Bible because it was important to them, but it also shows us how God can use people we would never expect him to use to do miraculous and wonderful things. So by faith, Rahab does some amazing things. This morning's text comes out of the book of Hebrews. It's two short verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31 tell us this. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith, the walls fall down. Because you know what? Walls really thick and built well don't just fall down for no reason. It's by the faith of the Israelites. But check this out. In verse 31, it says, by faith, Rahab just happens to throw in her job. Rahab the prostitute, not to be mixed up with any other Rahab that you may know. Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. By faith. By faith. In this new year, I want us to look at these four areas of life that we are to live in a limitless fashion. We should be all out in these four areas that we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks. And today, we look at faith. I want you to live a life that is limitless in your faith, that you will put your faith in God and what he has called you to do and what he wants you to do, and you will go forward and do things that you have never imagined or hoped or wondered. The desire for you is to have limitless faith. And in the life of Rahab, and in these couple of verses, I want to pull out three aspects of Rahab's faith that are also applicable to you and me. The first one is this. Very simple. God's decrees come to fruition. What God says will happen, will happen. Notice verse 30, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. God told Joshua, look, you're going into the new land, you're going to go into Canaan, and you are going to defeat these people. God decrees it. It will happen. And how it will happen may be different than how you expect it to happen, but God decreed it to be so. God decreed you will go into Canaan and you will prosper. You will go into Canaan, you will have homes that you never built. You will go into Canaan and you will have vineyards that you never planted. You will go and people will just leave and you will be able to conquer and the land will be yours. God decrees it. And it's going to happen. And I wonder, in your own life, what is God telling you that needs to happen in your life? Or what is God saying, this will happen for you? I'm not saying don't come up with some crazy wild dream that maybe on your own you come up with and hope could happen. I'm going to win the lottery this year. Or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Those are hopes and dreams, and maybe so. By the way, don't waste your money on the lottery. You're just giving it away. Don't want you to think I'm condoning that. But the point is this. God has decreed some things for your life. God has decreed some things for how you should live and the way you should act and how you should love and what you need to do. And if you don't read God's word and if you're not in God's word, you have no idea what those decrees are. You will never hear God's voice if you never get into his word. God decrees certain things. And they're going to happen. And you need to have faith that they will happen. Joshua knows the walls are going to fall. He doesn't know how they're going to fall. He doesn't know how the land of Canaan will be destroyed. He doesn't know how in the world this fortified city, this massive city, will come down. But he obeys God because God decrees the land is yours. So what are God's decrees for you? Are you seeking to hear him? What are the scriptures declaring to you? We need to walk a fine line between naming and claiming and actually believing what God has to say. So God's decrees come to fruition. They will happen. And you need to understand this, that God's decrees do not depend on your past. That's the second thing that Rahab's story teaches us. Our past does not have to define our future. Rahab, synonymous with prostitution. Not exactly the resume-making job of the century. It's not something you advertise for being a wholesome person who needs to end up as a great-great-grandmother of the King David. Not exactly the kind of thing that you boast about who will eventually be in the lineage of the guy who will save the world, Jesus Christ, who comes down in human form, puts on flesh, and becomes our sin. Not exactly the resume enhancing job title, right? And too many of us get bogged down in our past and say, well, I can never do that because of what I've done. I can never do what God has decreed because of my past. I can never do what God is seeking for me to do because of what I've done before. And you need to understand that once you're forgiven, it's over. There may be consequences that follow you, but stop living in the past. Stop living in last year. Stop assuming that every time you failed last year, that you will fail this year. Stop thinking, well, you know what? I blew another resolution. Or, you know what? I intended on reading my Bible, but it's June and I haven't started yet. Don't let what happened in the past determine your future. Rahab is a prostitute. There's no reason for God to show her loving kindness. There's no reason for God to declare through the spies that she would be saved. There's no reason that she will become part of the family of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're struggling with your last year, failure after failure after failure. You've lived with doubt and anxiety and you don't know what to do and you just feel lost. Will you trust God's decree and not allow what happened in the past to define what happens in your future? Put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in Jesus. Allow him to do the work in your life that he wants to do for you. Rahab comes out of that broken, destroyed city, a new person. She's no longer a prostitute. She ends up being married. She ends up being a mother and a grandmother. And her past does not define her future. And in the moment, her decision to put her faith in God. When we put our faith in Jesus, life follows. Third thing I want us to understand today is that faith brings life. Faith will bring life. In the case of Rahab, it brought her physical life. She believed in God. She declared to the Israelites the wonders of their own God. They were not going into Jericho and saying, look, we've got a great God. We're going to be here in a couple of weeks and we're going to destroy all you guys. Just wanted you to get you a heads up. They didn't go into the city boasting about who God is and what he could do. Instead, they go in and they hide and they try to blend in. And when they do that, not saying it's wrong, but when they do that, a prostitute, a foreigner comes to them and declares the wonders, glories of their God to them. She says, your God is the real God. He's the God of the heavens and he's the God of the earth. He's not defined by a space. He's not defined by a territory. He is God. And she puts her faith in that God. The wonderful, all-inspiring God. And what happens is he will save her life physically, because her and those in her home will walk out. But more importantly, Rahab's faith in God saves her spiritually. None of us would have guessed that she is one of the few who ends up in Hebrews chapter 11 who lives by faith. People like Abraham people like Abel, people like Moses. I mean, those are the giants, right? These are the people who lived by faith, and those are the people that we want to celebrate. And then in verse 31, there's this little prostitute that we would never put in there by faith. Rahab takes care of the spies, and God saves her life. Not only does he save her life, he gives her new life. He gives her a new outlook on the future. He gives her a new purpose. He gives her new life. God will change your life that starts today to the day you die. And more importantly than that, he changes your life after death, that you can have eternal life with him. Faith brings life. Have you put your faith in him? Do you have faith like Rahab? Limitless faith. Faith to say that God, who have not worshiped the way he deserves, is wondrous and glorious. Do you have faith like Rahab that says, I will help people who, if my city finds out, I will end up dead? Do you have faith like Rahab to trust in the fact that your past does not have to define your future? Do you have faith like Rahab who says, you know what? I'm putting my life in the hands of the mighty God. Hebrews tells us that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After being entrenched and encircled by the Israelites for 7 days, and by faith, Rahab, the prostitute, received the spies and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. You've got a decision to make. You have an opportunity today to live with limitless faith. Don't tell God about all your failures. Don't tell God about all your anxiety and all your mess-ups and all your doubts. Just trust him. Believe in him. Believe whatever he decrees will come true. Believe that he has the ability to change your future. But most importantly, put your life in his hands and follow him so that he can give you life abundantly here on earth and eternally with him after we die. In the new year, will you commit, will you surrender, will you give your all to live limitless for him? If you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never committed yourself to him, maybe you've come to church, maybe you visit a lot, maybe you come often, but you've never said, I want him to be my God. And you've never committed your life to him, and you've never given him your all. Will you start your faith journey today? Will you commit your life to him today? Start living by faith today. It takes a lot of courage, but it's quite simple. We stop being in charge of our own lives and we give it over to him. We commit to follow him. We surrender our life to follow him and him alone. And while they play, will you stand and respond to God? highly encourage you to spend time in prayer. I encourage you to come down to the altar and pray. Prayer works where you are, but man, there's just something about taking that step out of where you are and going and praying at the altar. Grab a friend, bring them with you. If you want me to pray with you, I would love to. But live a life that's limitless in its faith. It's limitless in our belief in Christ and what he can do. Will you respond to God?